The issue of racism faced by Americans and immigrants of Asian descent has been brought into the spotlight following last week's killings at three spas in Georgia. The city of Quincy held a forum on the issue last night. Here's Grace Lee, who spoke last night. She's the former chief civil rights prosecutor for the Norfolk County District Attorney.
Hate crimes have increased 150% since the pandemic. Of all the hate crimes that are perpetrated, 68% are perpetrated against Asian women. The stereotypes are for women, hypersexualized, or dragon woman, yeah, dragon lady, right?
For personal insight on this issue, we spoke with Caroline Lee, a first-generation Chinese-American and a second-year student at Harvard Medical School, and Paul Watanabe, who's Japanese-American and director of the Institute for Asian American Studies and a professor of political science at UMass Boston. A warning to listeners, this interview includes the use of an offensive racial slur. First, we hear from Paul Watanabe, who says he thinks the spa killings in Georgia have served as a wake-up call.
I must say, over the last week or so, more people have learned more about the Asian American reality and community probably in the last 5 days than they did in the previous 100 years, really. And that's important because I think the Asian American community, although it's the fastest growing community both here in Massachusetts and nationwide, it's the community that I think people know less about in terms of a major racial group. And part of this lifting the shroud of invisibility is the understanding not only that the events of the last week have been horrendous, but they're part of a long process by which Asian Americans have been, in some ways, treated in this fashion as the other, as perpetual foreigners, and that this violence against Asian Americans has been reflected not only in sort of attitudes and sort of criminal activity, but in terms of legal and political and social ways in which Asian Americans, since the very time they stepped on these shores, have been treated in the United States.
Caroline.
I'm originally from the Bay Area, and there's been so many attacks on especially elderly Asian Americans where, you know, I've told my parents, you know, be careful when you go out. And I think the events in Atlanta really hit home for me as an Asian American woman. And I think a lot of the discussions around it were that, you know, this was one of many incidences related to how COVID has kind of increased the number of attacks on Asian Americans. But although I think that is true, I think it especially hurt me because for me, this was not just the last week. This was our entire life experiences and our worst fears kind of playing out into action. And I think that personally, I had to do a lot of the learning myself because, you know, the kind of history of Asian American discrimination wasn't something that I was taught in my history classes growing up, and it was never talked about.
Carolyn, I met you, so to speak, when I read the piece that you recently wrote for WBUR's Ideas and Opinion page, in which you said, quote, "For my entire life, I feel like I've been unable to escape the constraints imposed on me by the stereotypes associated with my identity as an Asian woman." What did you mean by constraints?
I think by that I meant that in every sphere of my life, whether that's personal or whether that's professional, I am always viewed as kind of an Asian woman first, instead of that just being a part of my identity. So I'm a medical student at Harvard Medical School, and I cannot tell you the countless number of times when in that role, I've had comments made about my identity as an Asian American woman by patients that I meet. And whether those are sexual comments or comments about my background and race. And I think these are moments where I feel very especially powerless to say anything response. And I think that's to say also, if this is what I experience in a position of immense privilege, you know, wearing a white coat with Harvard Medical School's name on it, how much worse is it for Asian American women who are working in service industries and, you know, like the victims who were killed? It is kind of a constant barrage of harassment at times, and it feels like you can't escape.
Paul?
Well, I've never been attacked or so forth, but I've certainly felt it. And I feel it in various different ways. I remember, for example, I live in a community south of Boston. And the first time I took my young son to a daycare facility that they had at the local high school, and I thought this is great. They had a local daycare that was essentially free. And I never forget my son, I think he was about 3 years old, and he walked up the steps of the high school and students from the upper floors of the high school shouting, "Gook, gook, gook," at myself and more or less at my son. And I'm sort of somebody who understands the racism and so forth involved, but the impact on my kids and just seeing them do this to my kids, this is the sort of way in which I reflect on these sorts of things. I remember, Bob, you and I were talking about how we go way back being on the radio, and I've been on the political analysts and so forth on this station and others. And I'll never forget in the early days in which I used to do this, people used to say, wow, who's this guy? He's not even from this area. He's not even from Harvard, you know, and he's trying to tell us about what Boston politics is about. Or this notion, for example, that on the other hand, that people used to tell me, they say, and they still do, they say, Paul, we really are proud of you for being on the radio and so forth, because Boston, the people that they use as political analysts have so strongly been people who are white, and we really like to see some diversity, and you represent a lot of diversity on that. And so it comes both ways, Bob. It's a source of pride. It's a source of accomplishments, a source of visibility, but it's also a source of pain. And that pain is something that I've been trying to struggle against my entire life. And I'm sort of kind of cranky sometimes. And I think, and sometimes I try to call it like it is. And part of that is because of the experience of my family during World War II and placed in America's concentration camps. And the way in which that experience limited the options for them for the rest of their life, it silenced these people.
How much of the current wave of anti-Asian harassment is worse due to the rhetoric of former President Donald Trump, do you think? Caroline, why don't you start on this one?
I think the words of the former president definitely sparked a lot of vitriol that was already present. You can just go to a lot of the media sites and a lot of news stories where Asian countries are portrayed as the enemy. Those are all amplified onto each other and then superimposed on this long history. So I think it definitely made it worse. And I think for a lot of Asian Americans, those statements highlighted our otherness in this community. And I think that was a very difficult thing to experience.
Yeah, I want to pick up on that last point, which is assuredly Donald Trump contributed and he enabled a lot of these attitudes to emerge, but he didn't create them. And in some ways, the way it's going to emerge in the next period of time is, I think there's a growing consensus, unfortunately, it's a bipartisan consensus about this notion of China as the enemy. That impact about how we treat China and our relationships with China redounds to people here in the United States of Chinese and Asian descent. That's the reality of this perpetual foreigner notion. We have people in Boston who have come from China four generations ago, and they're still going to get tied to what our relationships are with China. So I don't think this thing is going to disappear. But I hope the education that's taken place over the last week or so will create pause, at least at the government level and perhaps at the personal level, about the ongoing connections that this experience has meant for their Asian American brothers and sisters here in the United States.
Paul Watanabe, Director of the Institute for Asian American Studies and Professor of Political Science at UMass Boston. Paul, always great to talk to you, and thank you again.
Thank you, Bob. It's been a pleasure as always. Thank you very much.
Caroline Lee, second-year medical student at Harvard and author of the recent column in WBUR's Ideas and Opinion page, which you can find at WBUR.org. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.